You ready this morning? Let me get my Bible up here. And you get your Bible where you are. Since I don't have the slides to show you, I'm going to make you look them up. So get your Bible out. Everybody take your Bible out and wave it up in the air and show what you got. Everybody got a Bible? If you didn't bring one, should be one in the pew there for you. And I want you to see these things. Now, if you brought your Bible, get your pen out. And I'm one of these. I like to make notes in my Bible. I like to underline verses and things like that. And I've got a Bible that's got years and years worth of notes and underlines in it and everything like that. That way I go back and I read something and see that it was underlined. And that meant to me that one day I was reading and God was showing me something with that. I want you to take your Bible, turn to Ephesians, if you would, please. Ephesians chapter 6. And again, you pray for me this morning and pray that God will give me a clear head. And I think about things like that, like not having the message that I worked on here today. I thought about it and I thought, well, God, why didn't you let me think to make sure that that was where it needed to be? And I believe that God is in charge of everything. I do. And so obviously there was something about that, maybe that God didn't want me to say or wasn't timely for today or whatever. And so I'm just going to try to go by what I remember that I had put in there. And I've got my little laptop here, and I'm just going to go through different places in the Scripture. You know kind of how I do things. When I study something, usually God gives me a word to study through the Bible. And I like just taking a word or a phrase and going through the whole Bible and seeing what the Bible says about that. And I get some of the best messages out of that. And I get a clear understanding then of what God is saying and how God is working. And I've had this on my mind here for a while, been thinking about it, praying about it. And I've counseled with some people this week from this church. I've counseled with some people that are outside of this church, probably watching online this morning. And I just kind of got an idea of what some folks are going through. It's been a while since I've taught anything like this here. So, I mean, for some of you that's been here for a good while, I'm not going to teach you anything that's brand new. I'm just going to, like Peter said, I'm going to refresh your memory. I'm going to stir up your memory of things. And sometimes we just need to have our mind and our things that we learned a long time ago, we need to have that stirred up in us so that we remember it again. But this morning, and maybe for a while, I'm not sure exactly how long I'm going to go on this, but this morning, we're going to talk about doing battle. We're going to talk about fighting. And I don't mean fighting one another. Amen? Don't mean that. The person sitting next to you is not the enemy. The person across the pew from you is not your enemy. The person who lives next door to you or across the street or down the road from you or the person you work with or for is not your enemy. The people who run the country are not the enemy. There are greater things than those people. They are not our enemies. They are prospects of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are somebody that we can reach for Jesus Christ. Can I hear God's people say amen? If we treat them like they are the enemy, and I'm talking even people that didn't vote the way we voted, people who have a different mindset than we, we're not supposed to treat them as enemies. We're supposed to treat them as prospects, somebody that we might be able to reach for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's hard to do that. I know how hard that is. But let's keep that in mind. There are greater things that we're fighting against. In Ephesians chapter 6, it's going to tell us right here. I want you to look at verse 10. I've gotten a lot of messages out of this portion of the Bible, and we're going to get some more this morning. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. Is that what it says? Whose might are we to be strong in? His. You don't have any. Keep that in mind. Because we're going to talk about fighting devils, fighting yours. And if you think that you can accomplish that in the, the methods of your own flesh, if you think that you can conquer the devil with your own mind and your own abilities, you're wrong. And I'm going to show it to you. You are dead wrong. It must be the power of God's might causing you to stand, or you will not stand. So he says in verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." I want you to think about what he's trying to do to you personally. We're going to apply this in several areas. Number one, what the devil is trying to do to you personally. What he says to you. What he draws you with. And everybody here has a drawing point. They have a weakness. They have a way that the devil knows he can get to them in this particular way and draw them out, or try to draw them out, try to draw them away. He knows this. They say that dogs can smell fear. I believe it. There's something about us that when we're afraid of a dog or something like that, that dog knows then that he's got us. And he'll usually come out and attack. Keep that in mind when it comes to devils. They are beasts. There's something about them that knows whether or not you're afraid. They know what your weaknesses are. They know how they've attacked you before, and they know how to get to you again. So keep that in mind. Against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not, verse 12. I want you to take this verse now, underline this in your Bible. There's four things here. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against, number one, principalities. And I'll explain these here in a minute. Number two, against powers. Number three, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And number four, spiritual wickedness in high places. Now I want you to look up here. I got four fingers up. That number four means something. Okay, here's the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These are the things that save us, that give us the power to stand against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. You cannot stand against spirits. Let me ask you a question. If somebody came in your home in the middle of the night, broke in through the window or pried the door open, and they came into your house and you knew they were there, and they meant no good to either your house or the people in your house, what is your response, or what should your response be? Shoot them. Or take a baseball bat and club them, beat them senseless, beat them to where they can't remember anything, and then call the police. Okay? Do something about it. They're going to harm your house. Now, taking a club to somebody or shooting somebody in your house, that may be hard to do, but it'll put a stop to it. Right? Amen. Now, let me ask you this. What if a devil comes into your house? You can't shoot him. You don't have a baseball bat that can hit them. You can't even see them, but you can sense them. You can see the signs of where they've been. We just come out of deer season. We go out in the woods and we look for signs that the deer have been there. Look for hoof prints. Look for scrapes on trees. Look for rubs. Just look for any kind of marking in the woods that deer have been in that area. It is the same application to spirits coming into your house. Now, I mentioned a while ago that they will come against you personally. They will try to attack your soul. The second area that we're going to make these applications to is your home, your marriage, and your children. When I say home, I'm talking about your house, But I'm also talking about the people that live in that house. You and your spouse, or let's say just you, if you are divorced or have a broken home or whatever, you and your children represent that house, and spirits will come in against your house and the people that are in your house. Okay? And I may do an illustration I've done before, but it's a very powerful and effective illustration. I'm going to show you this morning how they work and what they're coming against. Okay? So everybody just kind of get ready for that. I'm going to pick three participants out of the audience. Okay? So get ready. All right? So we have principalities. We have powers. We have the rulers of the darkness of this world. We have spiritual wickedness in high places. So Paul said in verse 13, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God." If you don't take the whole deal, what's going to happen? If I was your enemy, I would target where you're not protected. Amen? Target where you're not protected. Cubby, you wear, when you're out doing your deal, you wear protection. You wear armor, correct? Okay? If I was a thug and I was going to shoot, there was a cop that got shot in the face, they can't wear body armor over their face. Can't see. So their face is unprotected, and the thugs know this. The thugs know not to shoot for your chest area. They're going to shoot for a place that's not protected. So watch it. When he says take on the whole armor of God, he's not kidding. So watch this, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Now there's two things here. Number one, an evil day is any day that the devil decides, today's the day I'm going to get them. It could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be a week from now, a month from now, a year from now. But I promise you they're going to come after you. They're going to come after your home. They're going to come after... Listen, I love the area that we live in. I'm going to make a statement, and I'm sick and tired of political correctness ruling this country. I'm going to make a statement that they'll call hate speech, sure as a world. I do not want a Muslim mosque in Jefferson County. Amen. I do not want one in Festus, Crystal City, Hematite, Hillsboro, DeSoto, Fletcher. I don't want a... Why do I not want that? I've been in areas where those mosques have power over those people. I'm telling you, there are bad, evil spirits associated with that stuff. That is a wicked, wicked religion. Those people do not live the way you and I live. Their mind is twisted and warped, and they want to bring that into our area. I do not want that in this town. So I'm going to pray and I'm going to do warfare against spirits that would bring something like that into this area, because I know what's going to come with it. Same reason why I do not want a gambling casino over here in Crystal City. Amen. Or Herculaneum or anywhere else. I don't want it in this county because I know what kind of spirits are associated with that. I do not want it in this county. Bless God. I ain't even prayed yet. I'm not done reading the Bible. Let me tell you something about the city of Festus and how smart they are. They figured this out a long time ago. If you go over here by Home Depot across from McDonald's, there's a little hut with a picnic table on it that says, "This is a park of the city of Festus." And the first time I saw that, I'm going, that is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. What a waste of money. You know what I found out? There is an ordinance the city of Festus passed years ago that said there cannot be any kind of sleazy entertainment center within 5 miles of any city park in the city of Festus. And the city of Festus put little parks all over town to make sure that no sleazy entertainment center could ever be put in the city of Festus, because it's going to be within the area of a city park. And I went, amen. You guys are, that's great. Amen. Amen. They'll be bringing, listen, those places bring in scum off the highway, truckers, and I'm not saying all truckers are scum, But there's some sleazy people going up and down our highways, and they stop off in these places, and they're looking for a victim because of what they saw in that place. And your children don't need to be around that nonsense. Amen? We don't want them here because we know what it'll bring. That's hate speech. I don't care. It's not politically correct, but it's right. Amen? Now watch this. The evil day, there is coming an evil day prophetically. And we ought to be prepared for this thing, because it's coming. Having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now I'm going to stop right here. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's ask God to bless the message. And then I'm going to just kind of proceed as I feel like the Lord is laying it out to me. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for your goodness and your mercy. And Father, I thank you, dear God, for the even the accidents that happened. Lord, I don't know, God, why it just worked out. It didn't have what I prepared. But Father, Lord, you're in charge of all things. And I pray, God, that you would take charge of this service, take charge of my mind. Show me, Father, Lord, how things work. And show me how to present it to these people this morning. Father, I love this book. I want to preach this book. This book is right. This book has everything, Father, that we face and deal with in life. And it's here, Lord, for our learning and for our admonition, for our edification. And I pray, dear God, that this word that goes out of this place today would help some people today fight some battles and to withstand in the evil days that are coming on them. I pray, dear God, Lord, that you would bless us in our homes, bless us in this town, bless us in this nation. I pray, dear God, that we could rise up once again as a Christian nation and put all this nonsense and all these bad spirits, Lord, out of our country. God, help us, we pray today, get some learning and help us, dear God, to save, Father, the things that are worth saving. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. I'm going to ask you a question now. Let's say that 1 o'clock in the morning, you wake up and you smell smoke in the house, you hear the fire alarms going off, and you realize the house is on fire. You make sure that your husband's awake or your wife's awake. You get all the kids and you get everybody out of the house. You even get the dog and the goldfish, and you're outside and you're watching your house burn. Now, let me ask you a question. If that house burns to the ground, are you still a family? As bad as it would be to lose a home and to lose everything in it, it would be worse if we lost the people that are in it. And here's what I'm trying to tell you. There are some things that we can stand to lose that won't affect who we are and what we really love. I'm going to tell you something. You've got a problem. You've got a huge problem if you lament the loss of things more than you would the loss of people in your life. You're a sick, no good, dirty so-and-so, and I said so. You got a problem. If you would cry and weep over the loss of a bass boat or a car or a house or whatever, more than you would lament the loss of people in your life, there's something wrong with you. Okay? And everybody in here agrees. See? So you won't be mad at me, be mad at everybody with me. Guys, I'm going to need you when the fight starts. Amen? There are things that are important to us. There are things that are important to me. And God has shown me this throughout the years. The things that I'm going to preach to you are things that, number one, I've read in the Bible. Number two, I've seen it in life application. I've had to fight some very serious battles. And I found out that my wife was not my enemy. She's not the one that I should be fighting. I fight the spirits that would try to use me against her or her against me. But I'm not going to fight her. Nod your head. Say amen. She's not the enemy. My children are not the enemy. I've fought battles for my children, but I don't fight my children. They're not my enemy. And there are people that are watching online, maybe people sitting here, who have lost family members. They're not the enemy. The spirits that are holding them away from the gospel, that's the enemy. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness, those are the ones you fight. You can't shoot them with a gun. You can't beat them with a club. You can't get a Ghostbusters zapping ray and put them in a little canister. That's not real. You have to fight. Now, Paul said our weapons of warfare are not carnal. They're not with spears and swords and shotguns and semi-automatics and knives and billy clubs. They're not with that stuff. They are with, in fact, I'm not going to get into the what we're fighting with or what we're using to fight, but just here in a minute I will. But you realize that the things that are in your life, my soul is precious to me, and I don't want to lose my soul. I want my soul to go to heaven. My wife and my family, my children, my grandchildren, my son-in-laws, my daughter-in-law, they are precious to me. I do not want to lose them. So I'm going to fight the devils that would draw them away. This church is my life. If this building burnt down and everybody in it was rescued, we would still have church. We just have to do it in a different place, in a different building, but we would still have church. This church is vital to us. It is precious to us. And we will be under attack. Will be. Devils will try to get us going after one another. Devils will come after you with darts of false doctrine. You're hearing me say one thing, and you've got devils on the internet telling you something else. Let me tell you how this works, just so you understand. Did you know that while you put yourself in the pews listening to your pastor, God is protecting you and your family? Did you know that? Where authority is protection. The moment that you say, well, I like Mike, but some of that stuff he comes up with, I just don't agree with that. And there's a guy, Dr. So-and-so, on the internet. I watch him all the time, and I think I like him better. In fact, if I lived in his town, I'd go to his church. I wouldn't be coming to Bethel. I'm not your dictator. I'm not your God. I'm not your boss. But if I say stuff and it's the Word of God, put yourself under that authority. God will protect you. You step out of that, you're on your own. And I can't do a thing about it. My fight then is not with you. It is with the devils that pulled you out. That's who I'm going to fight. That's who I'm going to go after. Every time I'm going to go after it. You know how I'm going to go after it? Bible verses. One after another. If you've got sins in your life, whether I know about it or not, I'm going to go after it. God's going to lead me to go after it, and I'm going to do it with Bible verses. I'm going to say, this is what God said, this is what God said, this is what God said, this is what God said. And I'm going to fight the devils that are drawing you away. This church and everybody in it is very precious to me. These are the sheep that God has given me. The ones on the internet, these are the sheep that God has given me. The places out in Kenya that we're ministering to right now, these are the sheep that God has given to me, and they're very precious to me, and I'll fight for them, and I'll fight for you, and I'll fight for your family. I'll stand up for you. Will you stand with me? The evil day is coming, people. Amen. Okay? So we apply this, number one, to ourselves. Number two, to our homes. Number three, to our church. Number four, to our communities that we live in. And this state, the state of Missouri, and our country. Now, I'm not interested in what goes on in Canada. I'm not really interested in what goes on in Mexico. But I am interested in what goes on within the walls of my own country. And we've got people in this country that are saying, tear down all the walls. And I'm with whoever says, listen, we need to build the walls higher. Amen. We need to build walls everywhere because walls are salvation. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to picture in your mind a fort. Had I had my PowerPoint, I would put a picture of a fort up on the screen for you. You just pictured in your mind a fort. A fort has walls, and a fort has towers with men standing on those towers with weapons. And they are intended to keep things out that are not supposed to be in. Inside the fortress, this is why you lock your doors at night, is it not? This is why you bolt your windows down at night so that nothing comes in your home that should not be there, including mice and cockroaches and spiders. Amen, ladies? Okay. They should not be there. So you build walls around your family at night so that nothing gets in there. You already know these things. So picture your life as a fortress. God has built a fortress around you, and He's sheltered you. He's covered you with His wings, the Bible says. And He's got you protected. Stay in the fortress. Nothing will get to you. You step out, you're on your own. Or you let things in that should not be in. Amen? So that's your home, that's your marriage, those are your children, that is your grandchildren, that is your family, that is this church. There are things that I will not allow to come in to this church. At one time, I was going to bring some of them in, and God chasing me over that. You will not find a preacher standing in this pulpit with anything but a King James Bible, and I better not find out that they don't believe it all. Because if they don't, they'll never preach here ever again. I will not allow that in this church. And don't be surprised. And I hurt somebody's feelings during homecoming. A guy come up to me after the service, and he started reeling off all this stuff about numbers. And it wasn't right. And he asked my opinion of it. And I had to tell him, that's not right. And he got upset. I got his feelings hurt. And I said, I can't teach that. I can't preach that. I can't stand for that. I can't not go for that. What you're showing me is not right. And I hurt the feeling. And I felt a bit terrible that I had to do that. But I would not allow something like that to be taught in here. Amen. So if you ask my opinion about something that you saw on the internet, don't be hurt at what I tell you. Because if you ask me, I'm going to show you Bible verses. This is why I believe what I believe. By the way, the earth is a great big ball. Don't give me that flat earth stuff, because it ain't Bible. Amen. Ain't right. And it doesn't work either. Sunrise and sunset does not work. I won't get off on that, but anyway, I'm just telling you, don't ask my opinion unless you want it, and I'll give you Bible verses. Okay? That's the authority that God places in this church. You put yourself under that authority, God will protect you. All right? Now, I'm going to show you some examples here. All right? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Look at verse 12. But against principalities. Let me explain that. Principalities are devils that have an area of authority. I knew when I was in Kenya that there were some devils that had authority in the town that we were staying in, Migori, because I felt it. I didn't know exactly what it was, but I was under it. And when we left town, we drove about 5 miles out of town, and just like that, that spirit was gone, and I knew it. And I turned around and looked at Mike Hutzel. I said, do you believe spirits are territorial? And he said, yeah. I said, we just left our territory. And he's never forgotten that, what I went through out there. And in fact, you look in your Bible, there is a prince of the people of Persia that withstood the angel that was delivering the answer to Daniel when he prayed. A principality was standing in the way. There is a prince over the United States of America. I do not know what it is, but there is a principality. There is a devil over areas of authority. Just like animals who mark trees and leave their scent all around certain areas, they're marking their territory. Devils have territory. And when you get into their territory and you are a threat to them, don't be surprised at when the lion comes out of the den. Do not be surprised. When he thinks you're a threat, he'll nail you. In fact, I want to show you something. Take your Bible and turn to Exodus chapter 1. I'm going to show you what you, if you're saved, if you're born again, I'm going to show you why the devils and the lions have come out of their den at you. I want to show you why you are a threat to them, just you being who you are. Exodus chapter 1. Revival sounds like Bible pages turning. Amen? Do you remember Pharaoh? The Israelites were in Egypt. They were living in Goshen. They'd been there about 400 years. And a new Pharaoh had come along, and he didn't like them. And he put them under slavery. And they were breeding and having babies. God was making them fruitful because God blessed. God told Abraham that he would make his seed number like the stars of heaven. And God was fulfilling what he told Abraham. The Jews, they were popping babies out all over the place. They were growing. God was blessing them. And the Pharaoh started watching that, and it made him afraid. Now, Pharaoh is always a type of the devil. It's always a type of the world and a type of spirits. Now, watch this. In Exodus chapter 1, let's look in verse 8. Now, there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Now, you listen to me. You, as a born-again Christian, as Israel, have a power over devils that you don't think you have, but you got it. Every time you open the Word and are reading it and believing it, you've got power. Every time you pray and call on the name of the Lord, you've got power. Somebody say amen. You are doing what it is that you are supposed to do. And when the devils around you see that, they get their quills up. They get their danders up. They get their hunches up. You've seen animals. That buck deer that I killed during deer season, his neck was that big around. It gets bigger every time I tell it. He was in full rut, which means, and he was a big deer, and had big old horns, which means that if he faced off with another deer, you better look out, because I'm big, and I've got 9 horns, and you've only got 4. I think my deer run Matthew's deer off. Matthew's was a 4-pointer, and one of his whole side was broken off. I think his buck deer ran into my deer. And I think my deer said, get away from my property. Rawr! Broke them off. Whenever you pray, whenever you read your Bible, devils will start going. Rawr! Watch this. Look at verse 10. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war. How many of you think there's a war coming? And there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Pharaoh's looking at the Israelites, and they're breeding everywhere. God's blessing them, and they're multiplying, and their kids are growing up, and their kids are growing up healthy. Kids growing up strong, because God's blessing them. And they are the children of Israel, and the devil is all in Pharaoh, and he's looking at them, and he's going, we're going to have to get rid of them. So what he did was he put them under slavery. And he thought, if I work them to death, and they get home, they'll be too tired to make children. So that'll put a stop to that. And it didn't. God kept blessing him. They were working their tail off every day. Come home, pop out another kid. Come home, pop out another kid. Kids everywhere. So finally he hired the midwives and he said, I want you to kill all the males. Kill if it's born and it's a male, I want you to kill it. Because if it's a male, it'll fight in a war. I guess Pharaoh's never run into any females, amen? She bears, okay? And he meant what he said. And let me tell you something. You are a threat to the devil because of your children and you raising your children in a godly home. You're a threat. He sees you raising children, and God said that children are like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. And when we raise them, we send them out into the world, knowing the gospel, knowing the truth. And we send them out there, and they are a threat to the world and to the devil. They're a threat to the liberal crowd that's trying to destroy this nation. They are a threat because we're raising them up to believe God's word and pray. And so they're a threat. Now I want to make an analogy here. I want to do an example, and I've done this before. I need some volunteers. All right, Caleb, come up here. He's always wanting to be in the limelight. So come up here, Caleb. Okay? Who else wants to be in? All right, Nathan, come up here. I want you to stand right here. You have no idea what I'm going to put you in for. All right? All right. Who else? I need a female. All right, sis, come up here. Yeah, get ready for this one. All right. Remember, we're talking about a home or a church or a person's life. Principalities are in charge of authority. Powers represent things that have control over us that we are helpless against. There are things that have power over your flesh that you have no, you can't stop it. Rulers of the darkness of this world represent things that keep people in darkness and blind. Blinded to what's going on. Blinded to the truths of God's word. They keep people in darkness. They rule over them like the stars of the heavens. Then we have spiritual wickedness. And that is in high places, any place where there is a top authority, there's a very, very evil presence there. How many of y'all believe that? Say amen. Okay? Now you watch this. Here's the home. Caleb is the daddy. Okay? This is Mr. Caleb and his family. Okay? His wife is Melissa. Okay? This is their son. Baby Huey. Okay? Big old boy. Okay? Now watch this. Remember what I said. Remember what Pharaoh was against. Who was the target of Pharaoh? Children. So watch how this works. This works whether it's this church. And I've had, my wife will tell you, times where I was away, I would get alone. She'd be worried about me. What's going on with you? And she would know that there would be spirits that were working on me to try to get me out of here. It's happened for 20 years. It's happened. Probably happen again. Try to get me out, because once I'm out, you guys are fair game. You're the target. I'm not. I'm just in the way. Because you know what I'm doing? I'm standing. And I ain't backing up. Okay? What do guards do? Security guards stand. Excuse me, sir, where are you going? I just want to go past you. Oh, no, you're not. Okay? They bear not the sword in vain. Amen, Cubby? Bear not the sword in vain. See that pistol there? We went to Walmart Thursday night. There's cops all in that place with guns. And I'm going, thank God for that. I got mine too. Okay? Amen. Now watch this. Principalities knows that as long as he, this man, is the head of the family.
Amen.
God put the man as the head of the family. He is standing. Guys, you are standing in the way of anything coming in to harm your family. God made us bigger than our wives. Made our frame bigger than our wives. He made us stronger. We have more muscles. Supposed to have. God made it easier for us. I mean, stop and think about this. Melissa, you remember this. When we were in school, give me your Bible. Give me your Bible. When we were in school, Nathan, how did the guys carry their books in school? How did the girls carry their books in school? Why? Because this is where the baby is. Look back there at Lynn.
Yeah.
See it? What's down here, Nathan? The tools and the weapons. Where do you carry your sword? God designed men this way and women this way. Every now and then we'd see that guy in the hallway going like this, right? And we're going, yeah, I can tell you how he's going to end up. Okay? See, it's not natural, is it? Have you ever thought about that? This is how it works. The tools and the weapons are right here, and the baby is here. And children instinctively know that. So here's the man. And he's got his sword. And he's got his weapons. And he's going to protect the home both physically and spiritually against anything that comes in. He's reading his Bible. He's trying to live a right life. The four enemies are going to surround that home. And they're going to work on him first because he's in the way. So principalities are going to work. Powers. Things that he has no power over in his life. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to get him to lose his weapon. To take down. You read the shields and the helmet of salvation. And I'm supposed to have it up on the screen. I'll show it to you next Sunday. Everything in that list of having the armor of God, every single one of them represent the Bible in some way. The shield of faith. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. The helmet of salvation. It's the word of salvation. The gospel. Feet shod with the gospel of peace. The gospel is in the Bible. Loins girt about with truth. Truth. Thy word is truth, he said. Every part of your armor represents the Bible. The moment he starts letting the Bible down out of his life, he is taking off pieces of his armor. And as he does this, these spirits know that they're going to go after him. They're going to go after him in ways that he cannot defend himself. Maybe his weakness is alcohol. Maybe his weakness is money. Maybe his weakness is women. Whatever. Maybe his weakness is pride or whatever it is. His weakness, and they're going to attack him, and they're going to try to get him out of the home. Now, mama's still here. God can bless a single mother. She's in a position that she was not designed for, but God can fill in the place in her life. Okay? So now she's got the sword. And you try messing with her babies, her cubs, okay? She's going to be a she-bear, right? Unless, see, the devils know her weaknesses too. And they go after her. They get her, let's say she's lost her husband now, she's going to be looking for another man. And what do we have going on in this county? We have homes full of single women who have men in their bed who are not the daddy to those children in that house. And that man does not love those kids. That is all over this county. Okay? So the devil's going to work on her. And she's going to be in the home, but she's not tending to Bubba over here. So now Bubba is the target. And the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness and the spiritual wickedness in high places are going to come after him. And they're going to ruin him starting at age 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Already by 7 or 8 years old, he's had his first sexual contact. Already at a young age, he's already found out where the liquor cabinet is, where daddy hid his whiskey. Already at a young age, he's starting to learn about Harry Potter and sorcery and witchcraft, wizardry. He's not in Sunday school anymore. His mom's not reading the Bible. They quit church a long time ago, and they're not coming, and they're just coming after him one after another. They now own him for the rest of his life. It'll be a miracle from God if he is ever delivered out of that. And some of you have been. Amen? It can happen. But this is who they're going. Thank you guys for coming up here. I appreciate that. Thank you, Caleb. Do you guys now understand how these things work against us? They will come at you with everything they've got. And the first thing they're going to do is try to remove your authority and your weapons. Now, look back here. I want to give you two simple things. Two very simple things. Go back to Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm going to show you. This is Mike Hoggard 101. You want to know me? You want to know how I operate? How I work? How I get by? How I deal with things? This is me. Two things. Very simple things. And I promise you, they're always going to be the last things on your list. Always. So Ephesians chapter 6, I've done mention to you that you have your loins girded about with truth. Truth is the word of God. Breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate, the shield, the righteousness is of Christ and is from the word of God. Feet shod to preparation of the gospel of peace. That's the Bible. Taking the shield of faith. That's the word of God. And then you take the helmet of salvation. That's the word of God. And then it says the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It actually tells you that. Then, there's two things you do to win the battle. The first one, read and believe your Bible. Read and believe it. If you don't believe it, the shield is the shield of what? Which is belief. If you don't believe certain parts of your Bible, you've got a big hole in your shield, and the devil knows, I know right where to hit him. I know right where to aim. I'm going to get him because he don't believe this part. He don't believe that part of the Bible. I'm going to nail him right there. He's going to tear you apart doing that. Read it and believe it. Because watch this. You're going to have a devil coming at you saying, that stuff in the Bible, that's not for you. Don't believe it. In fact, I know you're so nasty. You're so dirty. All that stuff about God and righteousness and saints, that's not you, and you know it. You know you've done things. You know you're guilty of things. You can't live this life. Why don't you get out of there? That's what they'll tell you. Am I telling you the truth? Am I telling you the truth? They'll tell you, you know, this doesn't belong to you. You need to get out of there. Quit going to church. Quit reading your Bible. Quit praying. You're not worthy. God's not listening to you. That's what they're telling you. That is a lie. And when you read your Bible, you read this book and you believe it, and God is telling you, I love you. I care about you. I sent Jesus to die for you. Of course you're wicked. Jesus is righteous, and I'm going to put His righteousness on you, and they can't touch you. God said, I'm going to put my wings around you. They won't even be able to see you in there. That's what happens. When you read your Bible and you believe it, the devils, all of a sudden, they go, they can't speak. You don't believe them anymore. And they'll leave. When the devil tried this stuff against Jesus, he gave them what? Scripture verses. It is written, it is written, it is written. Do you think Jesus believed it? He was it. Of course he believed it. And what happened? The devil left him. Couldn't stand in that presence. That's the first thing you do, is get your Bible out and read it. You know what the second thing is? Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Bible reading, prayer. Bible reading and prayer. Well, so-and-so on YouTube said that I've got to have this little ritual and I've got to say all these devil's names and get them out and cast them out and I have to do that. No. And then pray. And then pray. Read your Bible and then pray. And then if they're still there, read your Bible some more, pray some more. And if they're still there, then quit eating. Go into fasting and read your Bible and pray. You know what? They'll leave. They will leave. They'll leave you alone. They'll leave your marriage alone. They'll leave your kids alone for a season. But then they'll come back. So you know what you do again? Read your Bible and pray. Read your Bible and pray. Read your Bible and pray. And you know what? They'll leave again. And you know what they're going to try to get to do? Read your Bible and pray. They're going to try to get you to do everything else except read your Bible and pray. But I promise you, you do these things, they can't stand in the presence of God's holy word, Jesus Christ, standing there defending you. They can't take it. And they're just like beasts that when you withstand them, they will leave. They will. When the lion comes out of him, that means that you have got into his area. And when you get into his area, expect there to be a fight. And when there is a fight, you get your sword out and you get on your knees and then you do battle. See how simple that is? It is the simplest thing in the world, and yet it is probably the last thing that you'll end up doing. Trust me. That's what happens with me. I try everything else except prayer and Bible reading. Then when I go into prayer and start reading my Bible, they lose and you win. You're going to save your marriage that way. You're going to save your kids that way. Okay? And I'm going to show you probably next Sunday, there's a list of things the Bible says you're going to save by doing these things. You're going to save your soul. You're going to save your home. We're going to save our church. Who believes we can save Festus, Crystal City, Herculaneum, Hillsboro, DeSoto? Who believes? Now, I'm not saying everybody getting saved. What I'm saying is we can run out some of the strongholds that are in these towns. Just this one little church. Who in here believes that?
Amen.
You should. Because how many... The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. One person. One person. So I tell you what, let's do. Do we want to have prayer? Be ashamed to preach on prayer and Bible reading, and let's read the Bible, not pray. So I tell you what you do. Those of you who are fighting a battle, I want you to come down here. Okay? Take your pride off, set it down over in the church pew, and you come down here. Those of you who know somebody in a battle, you come down here. And you fight for them. Ladies, you have no idea the effect that a praying mama and a praying wife can have on a husband. You have no idea. You go to battle for they need it. They need it. Now, if your knees don't work too well, you can just sit there on the pew and it'll be all right. Okay? Like me and Roy here. Amen. You folks at home, get on your knees. You folks out in Kenya, get on your knees. There are strongholds in Kenya. I've seen them. They're very evil. And they do very, very wicked things. You're going to have Muslim influence in Samburu and Turkana. Those bring evil, evil, evil spirits with them. You withstand them. You stand when their presence is known. They'll hate you. They'll hate your guts. But you stand anyway. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you. And we just, Lord, we've been brought to a place now in our life, Father, where we just believe what you said. And Father, that doesn't come easy, and you know that. You know, God, the things that run through our mind and the doubts that we have. So, Father, help us, Lord, with simple faith. A simple trust, God, you'll do. And Father, there are many battles represented in this place. Many strongholds, God, where the lion has set up a den. And Lord, every time we kind of get close to that and he comes out, we turn and run. Father, we don't, what David found out, that he could chase a lion down, steal the lamb right out of his mouth and smite him, kill him. David was able to do that by your power and your might, Father. And Lord, we understand, God, that unless we have your might and power in us, we can't stand. We won't stand. We'll run every time. I pray, dear God, that you would help daddies stand against the strongholds and the wiles of the devil in his own life, but then in his home, as he would protect his home from an intruder coming through the door. Father, give him the strength and the ability and the wisdom to understand when a devil or a spirit has entered into his home. And Father, that's his domain. That devil doesn't belong there. Help him, help our dads and help our husbands, Father, to see that wickedness has moved in. It needs to go. It's a worse threat, a rapist or a robber coming into our home. Father, help our wives and our mamas, dear God, to pray for their children. Pray for their husband. Pray that God would protect them. Pray that God would overshadow them. Pray that the devils that are binding them and keeping them, Lord, from the gospel would be bound themselves and let the gospel go into their hearts. Father, help our children. Maybe there's children watching. Maybe there's children here, Father, with lost parents. Lord, I pray, God, that you would help them. Help them to stand, Lord, against the wiles of the devil, to stand in the evil day. Pray, dear God, Lord, that they would have a very simple faith in your word. And Father, they would pray and make the devils go away. Make the devils leave them alone. What time, Lord, these children are afraid, they call unto you, God, as any children would go to their mom and daddy and say, Mom and Daddy, I'm afraid. God, these children can run to you and say, Father, we're afraid. Father, would you protect us? Father, would you make the devil ghost go away? Father, just bless us and help us, dear God. Equip us. Help us to believe every word in your word, Father. Help us, dear God, when we're being told by spirits that it's a lie, that we're not good enough, that we're too sinful, God, that God, the devils are always going to bring to remembrance things that we've done in the past. Father, help us, dear God, to believe your word in that day and to stand steady on that, Father. They will leave. Help us, dear God, to all pray more. To pray for our families, to pray for our church, to pray for our county, to pray for our country, God. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, your word said. Help us, dear God, to fight and to win, Lord. And if we lose, Father, let us, Father, lose so that we learn from it. And next time we won't lose. Father, just use us as your people, dear God. These are the things that are precious to us. These are things, God, that we use.